Make it a war cry one more time. Say, oh. If you believe you don't have to worry, say it one more time. I don't have to worry. Say, I don't have to worry, cause it's working for me. It's working for me. It's working. I don't have to worry. It's working for me. It's working right now.
Pray with me. Let's pray together. God, our Father, again, it's preaching time at Greater Brookville Church. The children have wandered in from various walks of life, various activities. And we've come now, God, that we would hear again what you are saying to the church. Then that the church would go and talk to the world. Please, God, again, as we so very often ask of you, would you unstop our ears and soften our hearts? Make us mindful of the gravity of the moment. For we have but a few days, and then it's done. And so, God, we need to hear what you are saying quickly so that we can move with purpose. Move in power. Lord, help the poor preacher today. Give him wisdom and intellect. Take me deeper into the story that I might see what others have overlooked and say what others were afraid to say. And then, Lord, look on your people. For how shall they hear without the preacher? But it is to the people of whom we preach. So, Lord, bring us together as one, preacher and people. Hear what the prophet is saying to us. Strengthen us that we might continue along the journey. It's a long ways home. But, Lord, we've come further than we might have imagined. It's all because of you. So, God, let us now draw nearer. You're drawing near unto us. Word would come alive in this place. Open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready. In the name of Jesus. And please, God, forgive us of our sins. We have done so many things that we ought not have done. But you let us come in one more time out of the storm, out of the rain. It's preaching time. So forgive us and cleanse us and make us righteous again in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that I feel well enough to do what little bit I'm going to do to your glory and your honor. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless God together. Come on, James said the Lord is intentional. So you ought to be intentional too. Amen. Come on and bless him like you really love him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Somebody ought to have a hallelujah in reserve. Somebody ought to have a thank you, Jesus, in reserve. Somebody ought to save their best praise for the Lord. Your best praise for the Lord. Your best praise for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Best praise for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Ushers, get ready to take your seats. Grab your Bibles, your smartphone, your other electronic devices. John chapter 15, if you will, please. As you open your Bibles with me and go to John chapter 15. And it's going to read a few verses. John chapter 15, New Testament of your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So John chapter 15. And I have again my New Living Translation Bible. It is my preferred Bible version. I love the word. Amen. I don't speak the King's English like most folk does, so the King James version a bit much for Leroy sometimes, so I made it simple for myself. Got this New Living Translation Bible. It talks like me.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen. When they come out with the African-American version, I'm going to buy that one too. Amen. They'll be known as the homeboys. They won't be the disciples. See, when Jesus turned to his homeboys and said, that's what it's going to say. He's not going to say they passed through Capernaum and Galatia, that they were going through the hood. Jesus stopped by the spot and took a squat with the boys. It's going to say that. Amen. John chapter 15. Pray with me. Beginning at verse 1. Amen. That sounds good right there. Thank you, fellas. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You've already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me, my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. You may be seated in the presence of God while you're getting ready to take your seat. Look at your neighbor and said, Pastor's going to preach the significance of solidarity. The significance of solidarity. Amen. I want to start out by saying that being a Christian ought to mean something. Okay, y'all got quieter. I just want to say that. I want to say that because it matters that it matters. When I was in military, I was always very proud to put on my dress uniform and shine up my little awards and decorations and spit shine my boots and press my uniform. When they came out with the uniform, they call it the battle dress uniform. They told us that it wasn't supposed to be starched. It wasn't supposed to be sent to the dry cleaner. We're supposed to wash and wear it because it contained some kind of fiber that was anti-this or whatever, but there's no way I was going to wear my uniform without creases in it. And I would spit shine my boots, and my wife will tell you, to this day, I've still got about 9 pair of jump boots, and all of them still shiny, but I would come home twice a day and change boots just so I would be sharp, because being a soldier mattered to me. My soldiers were required to get a haircut at least once a week and to keep their mustache trimmed to regulation and to keep their nails clean and to get their teeth fixed. I used to tell my soldiers, they're going to do it for you for free. It's foolish not to get it done. And so I made sure that we had high standards. When I was a state trooper, I had the shiniest car. I had the most tickets. I wrote the most summonses. I was always washing my car and shining it up, and because it mattered that I was a state trooper. People saw me, and to this day, people still ask me, how in the world did you keep that car so clean? I had a little deal with the dude down at the car wash. And I wouldn't write him no summonses if he would wash my car. Because he had hot rods, Deacon Davis. He had these little hot rod cars. And out in front of his shop, you could see all these burnout marks and all that stuff. And I said, I know who's doing that, Steve. But I make a deal with you. I won't come up here and put you in jail. If when I come through here, y'all let me go to the front of the line and wash my car. He said, that's a deal, Reverend Trooper Mitchell. So that's how I kept my car clean. I don't know if they can impeach me for that now. And y'all better get ready for the word impeach, because it's going to be coming around here real soon. But anyway, back to preaching. But it mattered to me. And I would change my uniform. If I worked a wreck or went down in the woods, I would go home, put on another uniform for the rest of my shift, because it mattered to me. Y'all seen me. I've been your pastor 19 years, they tell me. You know how I look. You know how I do it. Because it matters to me. That's why I get my hair cut twice a week, and I come out here with a clean suit on and try to look like something. I'm proud to have our name on my chest, because being the pastor means something. And I want you to understand that it all means something to you too. You may not be a pastor or deacon or trustee or clerk or anything like that, but you're a Christian. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, you're a Christian. And that ought to mean something. That ought to mean something. Not just when you show up here, but it ought to mean something everywhere you go.
Yes, sir.
When you walk into your job place, your workplace, your duty post, you ought to come in there like a Christian. When you're in the Walmart, in the food line, in the Kroger, you're a Christian. When you go out to dinner with your friends, and when you go out on your little vacation and this girl's night out or boy's night out, it still ought to mean something that you're a Christian, because you are in the blood of Jesus. You are yet alive because of him.
Yes,
it ought to mean something. And when you say you're a Christian, you ought to say it with some vibrancy.
On,
you ought to
now.
Say it with assurance.
Come on now.
And you say, in him I live, move, and have my being, it ought to mean something. And so it is, beloved of God, that when you identify with him, you ought to identify with him to the high standard. And I just wonder sometimes why we're not more enthusiastic about being and identifying ourselves as Christians. Some of us get excited about football and baseball and basketball, and we'll go out and buy team colors and jerseys and hats, and we'll decorate ourselves during the season, And you'll know who we're rooting for, because we got our little hat on and stuff. We got our little jerseys on. In fact, Minister Tyler just asked me, can we have a sports recognition day in light of the Pro Bowl and Super Bowl? I said, that's fine. They can do that kind of stuff. Don't bother me none. My team is done. I'm done. So y'all go ahead with that. Y'all do what y'all want to do. I don't care. But the fact of the matter is, some of us get excited about saying we like the Giants, or we like the Redskins, or we like the Cowboys. But when you going to get excited about saying you love the Lord? When you going to wear his colors? When you going to jump up and down and shout for him? Just like you just, listen, I'm going to tell you now, y'all know I go all in for them boys, and last week was hard for me. But I'm telling you now that every time we made a little bit of a move, I'd jump up and down and yell, and I kept saying, we got a chance. We in there. We coming back. We coming back. And the fact of the matter is, I ought to do that for the Lord. I ought to jump up and down for him, and I ought to shout, because everybody know that preacher over there at Brookville like the Cowboys. But everybody ought to know who you love too. They ought to know that you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. But they ain't going to know that if you living in camouflage and you living on the quiet and living on the low. Only time you talk about Jesus is when you come to Bible study, your annual two times a year. But you got to let somebody know that being a Christian means something. You ought to be enthusiastic about it. That's why the writer said, I was glad when they sent unto me. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm about finished. I was glad when they sent unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because I got a relationship. That's why I love going home to my wife. Because we got a relationship.
Come on, Pastor.
Like it when we got the house to ourselves. We got a relationship. Like it when we go places. And people compliment her on her hair and compliment her on her nails and stuff like that. And I know that whatever she is partly because of me.
Come on now.
Yeah, because in him I live, move, and have. But me and her is one together.
Come on, Pastor.
And I'm proud of that little gal. When folk ask me, say, where's your wife? I'm glad to say she's somewhere I can find her.
Well,
amen. I most likely know where she is. I got one of them devices on her phone. She don't know. But I'm in a relationship, and it means something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
People ask me about our deacons. I'm proud of those fellas.
Yeah.
Amen. They're not the best. They're not there yet. But I'm proud of them because we're in a relationship. We carrying this here wagon up the hill together.
Yes,
people ask me about this congregation. I brag about y'all. As far as I'm concerned, we pack the house every Sunday. Everybody tithe, and we got more money than we can spend. That's where I tell it. And I don't tell it. It's not a lie. It's just a vision. That's what pastors do when we talk. We talk vision. See, now we don't lie. We just talk vision. We talk of a future time, a time when things will, all the good come together, you know.
Well.
And it matters to me how I talk about y'all because we are in a relationship. And here it is. Jesus is talking about relationship. That's what he's really talking about. He's talking about relationship, and he illustrates this in a way that they can understand it. Can I tell you something? I've really tried in our years together to preach with simplicity. I've tried to make it where you can understand it. I tried to make it where you could relate to it. So you can leave here today and say, that man was talking to me.
Yes, sir.
My pastor knows what I need to hear. He don't tickle my ears, but he sure pricks my heart every now and then. And he talks to me in a way I can understand. And Jesus talks about relationship. He's talking about affiliation. What you're a part of becomes a part of you. Amen. And don't ever forget that. You cannot hang around folk and not have some effect in your life. Amen. Back in the day, Jess, this will get some of them to want to go out the door, but you go block the door so they don't leave here. But back in the day when we hung around folk who smoked marijuana, who smoked weed, and we didn't smoke weed, they had a thing called a contact high. See how they're getting quiet, Jess? Y'all, you know, you didn't never. Bill Clinton said he didn't inhale. You remember that? Bill Clinton said I didn't inhale. I was with the frat boy down the frat house, and the thing came around. I just kind of looked at it and said, no, y'all go ahead with that. But if you hung around them kind of people, you had what was called a contact high. Yeah. Well, amen, amen. That's just like if you hang around folk that's cooking chitlin, you smell like chitlin. Amen. Somebody said, you've been around chitlin? You say, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you smell like chitlin. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, you've been around folk who conduct themselves in certain behaviors. It'll rub off on you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Some of y'all say you don't cuss, but you know people who do.
Yeah. Come on,
and every
man.
Now and then when you need a word, you say what you heard somebody else say. Come on, talk to me. You hang around folk, and there's a certain familiarity that takes place when we're in union with one another. And so it is, Jesus talked about that a little bit here. He says, well, if you stick out with me, you know, if you run with me, there are certain characteristics of our relationship that will become obvious.
Come on,
one of the things he talks about is that he said you'll be fruitful.
Okay.
He didn't say you'll be a fruit loop. He said you'll be fruitful.
Yeah.
We got too many fruit loops in the church. But he said, y'all talk to me now. I'm sick. Y'all ought to help me. He said, if you hang around me, you're really serious in this relationship, one thing that'll be obvious is you'll be fruitful.
Yeah.
Nudge your neighbor and say, what's on your vine?
What's on your vine?
Yeah. What crop you got coming in soon? What can we expect from you in due season? Y'all ain't talking to each other. Some of y'all looking at me grinning. Now talk to your neighbor because that's who we're talking to. We're talking to people in a relationship. What can we expect from you at harvest time? Yeah, what you been working on? What you got seeded in? What you sowing in this year? Where's your investment this year? Because if you're around the fruitfulness of the Lord, you ought to be bearing some fruit. We ought to see a little bud on you every now and then. We ought to see some signs of growth and development. We ought to watch you mature in the Lord because you're hanging around mature folk.
Well,
your grandma was right when she told you that buds of a feather kind of flock together. And you hang around some of y'all, I can close my eyes and count pews and tell you exactly where you sit. But you've been sitting there so long, what's your season going to bring next? You sit around deadbeats, you tend to become a deadbeat. you sit around vibrant and vigorous people, you tend to be vibrant and vigorous.
Yes,
amen. You sit around learned folk, you may not be the professor, but you can be a good student.
Come on now.
Amen. You may not have written the syllabus, but you understand what's required in order to get that passing grade.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so it is, beloved of God. He talks about affiliations. Talks about them being fruitful because of the relationship that they're in. But let me say this very quickly. This kind of relationship is not for the novice.
Uh-huh.
See how quiet y'all getting? This kind of relationship requires at least four things. They're not going to be my preaching points, but I was going to use them, but I just want to put them out there because they were so juicy to me. They were just so ripe for preaching, Eric. I didn't want to leave these four things. This relationship, tell your neighbor, this is what it requires. If you're going to hang out with Jesus. Yeah, talk to him. Don't let me be the only one talk. This is what it requires if you're going to hang. First of all, if you're going to hang out with Jesus, Rudy, it requires a definite decision.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make up your mind. You need to say it out your own mouth.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Second thing it is, it requires, and this I like this one, it requires definitive determination.
Yeah.
In other words, you got to know why and what you're trying to accomplish. You can't be talking about I'm on the battlefield and all that kind of stuff and don't understand warfare. You can't be talking about every round goes higher and higher and don't understand what it takes to climb. Y'all ain't talking to me. You can't talk about going down the long and dusty road and don't understand endurance. It requires a definitive determination. In other words, if you're going to make it with him, you got to make up your mind that you're going to go for it. Nike says, just do it. You got to go for it. And if you're going to be in a relationship, you got to have a definitive determination. And you got to be determined for the right cause. Third thing is, Sister Anderson, it requires a devotion without deviation.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen. You know, some of us love the Lord on payday Friday. We devoted to him when we got a little dust in our pocket. And when everything going our way, when our case was dismissed and our debt was forgiven and our bodies were healed. Oh, we just loved the Lord. We jumped up and down and ran around the church that week. And then next week, we didn't see you. You were devoted. You wanted to be the head cheerleader in the church. You want to be the worship leader and the praise leader. But if you're going to be in a relationship with the Lord, a true relationship with the Lord, it requires devotion without deviation.
Come on now.
And I mean that when it's bad, you got to still love it. Amen. I ain't always had it like I got it, but I still loved him. I've been down to a couple of nickels and two chicken wings and a can of pork and beans, but I still loved him. The rent was well past due, and the cars were parked around the back of the house because I didn't make the payment, but I still loved him.
Well,
I didn't get every assignment. I didn't get every promotion. I didn't always get the thing that I wanted, but I still loved him.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't talking to me. Yeah. Even when God said no, I still loved him. I still loved him. You have to have a devotion without deviation.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have some trouble.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't talking to me. In this life. Now, see, some of y'all sit there right now, know you done had some trouble.
On,
know God brought you through,
on,
and you can't even say amen.
Yeah.
He said, in this life.
Yeah.
Look at his name and say, I know that's right. It's going to happen. Yeah. What goes around not only comes around, it hangs around. He said, in this life, you're going to have some trouble. He said, but listen, don't fret none because you got me.
Yes, sir.
How many know that as long as you got Jesus, you're going to be all right?
Amen.
Amen. Long as the Lord is on your side,
yes,
you're going to be all right. And he said, listen, it requires a devotion without deviation. And he looks at his disciples. Can I talk a little bit here?
Okay.
Back then, John 6, they had a good meeting and things going on pretty well, Sis Cox. And Jesus hits them with the fastball low and inside. Jesus says to them, there's been a good meeting. A whole lot of folk turned out for the revival tonight. Jesus getting ready to close out the service. Said, but before y'all go, let me talk about the kind of relationship that I require. He said, if any man going to be with me,
right,
he got to eat of my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, what is wrong with him? Back in the black folk Bible, they said, homeboy tripping. And the Bible said, Deacon Anderson, That a whole lot of them walked away.
Yes.
Their devotion was not true.
Yes, it is.
They just walked away. They said, no, we can't do this. It's right there in John 6. Read it. They said, we can't do that. Black folk Bible, Elizabeth said, we don't get down like that. We don't get down like that. Jesus, you tripping. We don't do that. And their devotion was mixed with deviation.
Come on now.
Same thing when Jesus, can I talk a little bit longer? Same thing when Jesus fed the 5,000 plus, fed the multitude. And they came back around and Jesus called a meeting and said, no, I know why y'all really here. Yeah. The only reason y'all keep hanging around me is because of the fish and the loaves. Yeah. Y'all don't really care nothing about me. Y'all just want my food. Amen. You know what it is, them grubber eaters. You got people who just come eat all the time. Yeah. You ever want to get folk to come to your house? Have a cookout. Yeah, free. Because some of them actually didn't even bring anything, and as soon as you said, no, we got it, they on the way. And got the nerve to stop by and pick up some more homies. Yeah. So I know you would have wanted Audrey here, so I swung by and picked up Audrey. Audrey said, swing by and pick up Arnita. Arnita said, well, let's get Marion. And Marion said, well, let's swing on by and get Laura. And next thing you know, y'all done got a van from the church parking lot, brought some tables and chairs out of the church basement, wow. Said we might need these because we knew a whole lot of folk going to be here. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, I know why y'all hanging around me. You ever want to get folk to come around, just offer something free. Same thing with church. We say we're going to feed folk. It tend to be a whole lot of folk show up around here. Jesus said, I know what's going on. Their devotion was not true. And Jesus says again, he said, listen, I understand people. I know people. I know people do what they do, he said, but the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be with me, you got to understand this relationship. Jesus said, this ain't for the faint at heart. He said, many are going to come, but few going to make it. You see how quiet y'all all right long through there? Because the fact of the matter is, a whole lot of us sitting here right now know we ain't going to heaven.
Well,
we know we ain't going to make it. Y'all can look at me in kind of way. You know for yourself. That the way this here Bible read and the way you live, one of y'all got mixed feelings.
Come on, Pastor.
And the word ain't going to change.
Come on,
talk to me. That's why some folk caroling can't come to church every Sunday. I was going to take it me to say two or three more things along that line and say, that's why I don't come. Long I'm preaching cake and ice cream and telling you how rich and wonderful you are. I'm the best pastor in town. But when I get down to the bone and the marrow and we start cutting asunder, now I ain't coming back. I don't go to church for that. Church ain't no social club. I told y'all this before. This is a place where you ought to know you're going to get a whooping.
Well,
I get a whooping in my own preaching, Rudy, because I know I ain't doing everything right. There's some stuff I'm still working on, some stuff I'm still struggling with. But I'd rather struggle with him than struggle against him.
Yes, sir.
I know my relationship with the Lord means everything to me.
Yes,
amen. Wives and children come and go, but the Lord going to remain forever. Jesus reminds us, he said, listen, you gotta understand what it takes to be in this kind of relationship.
Well,
and I think too many of us, Donna, have come to the church under false pretenses and been falsifying things that are not necessarily need to do so. Because we made the church sound like it's ours. The church will always belong to the Lord.
Yes, it does.
We come into this house to worship and to magnify him,
yeah.
To be obedient to him.
Yeah.
Your mom and daddy told you that. Mom told you, you live under my roof, you gotta live by my rules.
Yeah.
And some of us thought we were slick and told ourselves, we can't wait till we move out. Can't wait till we get grown and get our own place. And we met words like mortgage, insurance, grocery, plumber, electrician. And said to ourselves, what in the hell was I thinking? I need to go back home.
Well,
I ain't had to pay no mortgage. Mom, I ain't know nothing about no mortgage. Listen, I thought food came free.
Well,
I lived in my mom and dad's house. I thought sheets were just automatically given every other day. I didn't know nothing about when stuff got broke. I thought that man that showed up to fix stuff in my mom and them house was just a dear friend. But I made up my mind that I understand the rigors of this relationship. And then the fourth thing, Deacon Davis, that it requires, a lot of folk don't like, and I said it required the decision, definitive determination, required devotion without deviation. But this is the one thing that gets him, Deacon Davis. It requires discipline.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Some of y'all with me now. Thank you. This kind of relationship, if you're going to live in the significance of solidarity, you've got to understand discipline.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you begin to live your life in holiness.
Uh-huh.
You don't do the same thing you used to do.
Well,
you don't talk like you used to talk. You don't hang out like you used to hang out.
Well,
you don't shuck and jive like you used to shuck and jive. You understand that if I'm going to be with the Lord, I got to have some discipline. Paul talks about it. Y'all have read it from the Corinthian letter all over and over again, but you didn't understand the discipline content of what Paul was saying. When Paul says that old things pass away and all things become new, Paul is talking about discipline. Y'all might have quiet. Paul is saying, I know better now. I can't keep doing the same thing I've been doing and call myself a soldier, servant, and subject of the kingdom. I've got to learn how to keep myself in check. Yeah, yeah. I don't follow none of y'all around. Mm-hmm. Don't want none of y'all following me.
Well,
because sometimes I lack discipline.
Well,
come on and talk to me, Laura. Anybody here will admit that some of the reasons you got into some of the mess you got in was because you lacked discipline.
Come on, Pastor.
You didn't know how to say no. You wanted to say no. But you didn't have the constitution. You didn't have the wherewithal to ride it out until the storm had passed over. Come on, talk to me. Most of us, the reason why our money got funny, because we didn't have no discipline. As soon as we got our check, we went spending money. We didn't know how to save money. It's statistically proven, and there's some financial people in here right now, but it's statistically proven that as Americans, we do not know how to save money. Typical American got less than $1,000 in their saving account. $1,000. Some of y'all been to Disney World lately. Some of y'all been down to Busch Gardens. Some of y'all been to Carowinds. You take a family of four, don't even count five, and go to any of those venues, the hotel, if you stay in a nice hotel, gonna cost you at least $150 a night. You're gonna stay there at least three nights. The dinner gonna cost you, go down to Red Lobster, Applebee's, Ruby Tuesday, and you got five hungry people to feed, you're gonna spend at least $100 a night.
Yes, sir.
Then when you get in the park and buy one of them $13 sodas, that's more ice than soda and more water than syrup. Don't talk to me now. You done spent $1,000 before you sneeze. You just blowed your savings. And God help you when you get that check next Sunday and don't tithe. Come on, talk to me. You lack discipline. You spent your money, and then some of us, our health is not so good now. Because when we were young, we lived like a fool. Stayed out late, smoking and joking, drinking anything you want to drink. Now our kidney's bad, our liver done left town. Amen. Got arthritis because you thought you were so cute you didn't ever want to put a coat on. Your knees hurt, your ankles hurt. Amen. Your foot bad, because every time Marvin Gaye said, I used to go out and party, you out there jumping them down, dancing. And God help y'all when breakdancing came out. Some of y'all now, your joints all out of kilter because you the breakdancer. You spinning all on the floor and flipping and all that kind of stuff. Don't look around the room like that. Just look at yourself. Now we're not healthy because we didn't have discipline.
Well,
we just did anything. Somebody said, let's go. And we tried to burn the candle at both ends and bragged about it. Say, not only do I work hard, I play hard.
Come on, yeah.
Now look at you. You're old and tired. Can't hardly make it to church on Sunday. Can't make it to Bible study. Your eyes done grown dim now because you don't want to wear no glasses because make you look dumb. No, they make you look smart.
Come on, now.
But you lack discipline. And so it is, beloved God, that he says, there's some significant things here that you need to consider. One of the things he talks about then, and I'm about to finish, is he said, listen, if you mess around and cut yourself off, you mess around and walk away from me, you mess around and leave me, you're going to die. He said, any branch that's broken off loses its life-sustaining supplements. It can't do nothing. Not your neighbor said, don't go out like that. Branch that is broken off. And that's what I love about the text. The text makes it clear that to be broken off is a choice. Uh-huh. The Lord didn't put you out. Lord didn't tell you don't come back around here. You made that decision. I put this little illustration here and I told myself maybe you ought not use that. But my wife and I, we got an anniversary coming up. 26, we've been married 38 years.
So, amen.
Yeah, 38 years. So I figured, that's okay.
Yes, sir.
That's my wife. I guess y'all don't care nothing about that. But anyway, but this little illustration I put in here because She can stand. She can. But there was this little girl I used to like. Wasn't her. It wasn't her. Before her. Before her. Oh, yeah, there was some before her. Won't be no after. I can tell you that right now. There won't be no after. Whatever happens going forward, when Miss Mitchell gone, there'll be no more Miss Mitchell with my last name. Now, you can talk to my brother, my cousin, the rest of them folk, but I went one time.
Come on now.
Yeah. But anyway, this little gal, I used to like her, you know, and we call ourselves boyfriend, girlfriend, sitting in the tree, you know, K-I-S-S-I-N-G and all that kind of stuff. And I used to go around there and hop the fence, hang out with her, you know, because I like her. You know, I ain't going to call her name because my wife know her, but I liked her. I liked her. I liked it her. You know, that's how you said back then, I liked it her. You know, we didn't know what love was yet, but I liked it her. And she liked it me. We signed a contract. I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no. Right back. And she checked yes. And so we was good to go. And I used to go around there. But her daddy wasn't having that. No, wasn't having it. I used to go around there, and her mama liked me. Now, I learned, fellas, young men, if you ever want to get in good, let the mama like you.
Yeah.
Once the mama like you, you good to go. Yeah. Darren, use that now. When the mama like you, you can hang around. And her mama liked me. And so her mama said, you's a fine young fella, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know, because when you go to somebody's house, you have to do the thing, you put your best behavior. And anyway, her daddy didn't like me. So he came home one day and said, look at here. Next time I pull up in my yard, don't let me find you sitting up on my stoop. And he walked away. Now, I didn't know what humor was back then. So I didn't think he was trying to be funny. I really think that there was a threat in there somewhere. And so it is, you know, I kind of heard him. But then his wife was in the kitchen with window open. You know, back down south, folk kept the window heist up. And when this man went in the house, she said, baby, listen here. Don't you listen to Mr. John. You come around here anytime you want to. Now, see, there's a conflict there. Because Miss John was known for carrying a little snub-nosed pistol in his front pocket.
Well.
Miss Sally just had a spatula and a mixing bowl. That don't, them two don't. And so it is. I kind of want to hang out in the relationship. I kind of want to hang out in the relationship. And since Miss Sally said I can come back, Miss John said I couldn't, I took Miss Sally road for a minute there. And one day Miss John came and he said, let me speak to you there, young fella. Now see, when a man said, let me speak to the young fella, that's when you know you got a problem.
No.
So Miss John put his big arms around me, big husky fella he was, and we started walking toward the end of the driveway. He said, didn't I ask you not be hanging around my house? I said, Miss Sally. He said, hey, that. Sally don't run nothing around here but a mouth.
Well.
And he started patting his front pocket. He said, now if you come around here again and I pull up and see you, we're going to have a problem. And he pulled me in real tight. Close. Not like a father who loves a son, but like a man who's trying to kill you. And said, do we have an understanding? I said, yes, sir. He broke me off. He told me don't come back no more. And see, what I want you to understand is Jesus ain't doing that. The Lord ain't breaking nobody off. The Lord ain't trying to mess up the relationship. Lord don't mind you hanging around and coming close, but you try to act like he broke you off. That's why, you know, when people don't come to worship and when people don't come to Bible study, that's brokenness.
Yeah.
See, y'all see how quiet everybody is? The Lord ain't say you couldn't do that. The Lord said, come. Come unto me and enjoy the relationship. Everything I'm doing, come on, be a part of that thing and enjoy. Because he ain't running nobody off. Mr. John told me don't come to his house no more.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I didn't quite take him serious at first, but the Lord ain't running nobody off. Ain't running nobody off. And he's saying, when I open up the doors, you ought to come in. He's saying, wherever I go, you can go with me. Because anything that's broken off is going to die. You understand me? It's going to die. And me and that little gal, we died eventually because Miss John made it too hard for us to be in union together. And I saw her some years ago, and I'm just putting this in as a sidebar, just mentioned to let you know that you landed good. She'd been married four times, and they had no good luck yet. Saw me one day and said, "You is the one that got away." I said, "Praise the Lord, because she don't look like she did when we was back then." So I'm just all I'm going to say. So Mitchell, you're holding tight. You're doing good. And so it is. Jesus reminds us that whenever you get broke off, watch this now, you lose both your energy and you lose your right of entrance. Yeah, don't miss that. You lose energy. In other words, the Bible said they that run got to run to the end. But if you don't run, you don't get no entrance. Bible said that there's going to come a day when the Lord's going to open up the door. And only the righteous. Only. Grandma them sang it this way. They said, "None but the righteous shall see God." Yeah. They talk about everybody talking about heaven ain't going. But Jesus says, if you mess this up down here, you're going to get cut off up there. He reminds us, and I'm about finished now. He said he reminds us that the God-breathed church is a sanctioned body of believers. Yeah. And believers hold fast to the profession of their faith. Believers don't wander and waver. I told them in noonday the other day, there are four particulars that ought to be considered by every believer. One, that you are always operating in the will of God. Can I talk about that for a minute? You ought to operate in the will of God. That's why you got this great book here. There is no reason for us, Eric, to be living outside the will of God. We ought not conduct ourselves as unseemly people. We ought not be doing things like the world does. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of this here world. Yeah, our business is up in heaven. We got a higher calling on our lives, and therefore we ought to be operating in the will of God. That's why you can love folk that don't love you. That's why you can smile when folk are doing you dirty. That's why you can keep pressing on when other folk trying to fall behind, because you're operating in the will of God. When you say my steps are ordered by God, that's because you understand where you're going and what you're trying to get done. You got to operate in the. That's why Jesus says that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to operate in the will of God. That's why I don't worry about things too much, Dimitri. I don't worry about things like I used to, because I figure if his will be done and I'm in his will, it's going to be all right. Second thing you need to understand is you need to be a valuable worshiper. Jesus gives an illustration, those who worship him. He said there's a particular kind that I'm looking for right there in John 4. He said, "They that worship me must worship in spirit and in truth." Yeah, if you worship the Lord, you ought to have some credibility to it. Yeah, you ought to let folk know. Matter of fact, you ought to let folk know when they sit by you that you're a worshiper. Folk come and sit by you, ought to give them a warning. Say, "Look here, I'm a worshiper." Soon the preacher start talking about the goodness of the Lord, I'm going to need some space here. I'm a worshiper. Soon as I think about what the Lord has done for me this week, I'm going to do something. Soon as I remember that I was sick and now I'm well, I'm a worshiper. Soon as I remember that he woke me up this morning and started me on, I'm a worshiper. Now, if you don't like no jumping and hollering and you don't like no waving and you don't want no spit flying, you better not sit by me. Because I'm a worshiper. I loves the Lord with all my heart. And I didn't come here to with my arms folded and look all sophomoric and stuck up. I came to worship him. I came to tell him thank you again. I came to tell him the bills are getting paid. I came to tell him I can move that old arthritic leg. I came to tell him my blood pressure going down. My diabetes is under control. I came to worship him. I got to jump up and down. I got to let the world know that I love the Lord with all my heart. And when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, I got to do something. I can't sit here like the Mona Lisa. I can't sit here like a statue. I got to wave my hand because he's been good to me. I got to pat my feet because he's been good to me. He kept my children out of jail. He kept my raggedy marriage together. He put a roof over my head. I came to worship. Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord, whom the Lord has redeemed with a mighty hand," somebody ought to shout, "Thank you." Came to worship. Then he says, I got to work. I got to work. I'm about done. He said, I got to work. You're in a relationship, you got to work. What kind of work? The works of him that sent you. Work, I got to work. I got to do what God told me to do. Grandma said it all the time, and when she first started saying it, when I was a little fella, I didn't know it was a biblical principle. But Grandma used to tell us all the time that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. That doesn't necessarily say that scripture verse, but I understand what she's saying. And you got to work. Too many of us are just sitting around waiting on the parade to come by so we can jump on the bandwagon. Well, we don't want to work. We don't want to do nothing. Don't want nobody to tell us nothing. And that's why some of us can't maintain a job, because we don't never want to work. We just want to sit around and hang out in the coffee room and then fake it every now and then. And then when a big project is going forth and everybody's celebrating, you stand there with your hand up in the air like you did something. You ain't done nothing. But I hear the Lord, Paul helps us to understand. He said, listen, you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You didn't put in, you ain't going to get nothing out. So you got to understand that part of our relationship requires that we are in the will of God and that we worship, but we got to work. Jesus says, come here, let me tell y'all something. He said, everybody ought to hear me now. He said, you got to work while you have the light of day. He said, darkness is coming. He said, and nobody's going to be able to get nothing done. When darkness falls upon us, we're going to have to go into our slumber. How many of y'all have a problem adjusting from daylight savings time? Happens to a lot of us. Our body clocks are so used to the sun going down late, you know, and when daylight saving time flips around and it starts getting dark around 5 something, it messes a whole lot of us up. Our body just start getting sleepy. We start getting lethargic and don't want to do nothing. But you can't use the earth clock as an excuse.
Well,
you got to get your spiritual clock aligned up with God, because we've got work to do. And when darkness comes, you know the devil is the purveyor of darkness. He brings darkness everywhere he comes. And a whole lot of us have been relegated to darkness because we're hanging out in demonic situations. We're hanging around demonic folk and folk who don't want no vision and folk who don't understand ministry and folk who don't understand mission and the violence, validity of the church. And so darkness is coming. But look at your name and say, I know the light. Yeah, I know the light. Jesus is the light. And as long as I got Jesus, I can get it done. Oh, help me somebody. Long as I got the light in my life, I can get it done. And so it is. Jesus reminded me, he said, listen, you've been pruned already. You ought to be ready. You sharp now. You're ready to go, and you ought to be able to get it done. You ought to be able to get out there and bring greater fruitfulness. Why? Because you heard the word. And there it is. There it is, the word. You ought to understand the will. You got to understand worship work, but you got to understand the word. You got to get the word in you. Come here, Psalm right. He said, listen, thy word I've hidden in my heart. How many of y'all got a little word in you?
Yeah.
Amen. You'd be surprised every hand didn't go up. I better ask that again. How many got a little bit of word in you? Amen. He said, listen, you got to have some word. He said, because the word is life. Yeah, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The word was with God, and they that are with God ought to have a little word. Amen. Look at your name and say, neighbor, is there a word from the Lord? Yeah, is there something? Listen, is there something you can say to me when I'm in the midst of my struggles? Is something you can say to me when I'm down and out, when I'm feeling the rigors of life? I need a word from the Lord. Listen, there used to be a time back when we were hustling, just whenever we were in trouble, we need a little Johnny Black, a little Justin Brother, you know, but now I need a word. There's a time back in the day when some of us get in a little trouble, we need to go down to the spot and get a little something, but now I need a word. I don't hang out like that anymore. I don't get what I used to get to try to get where I'm trying to go. I get into the word of God. Let me first be clear, what Jesus is offering is unique, and it is something particular to a particular kind of people. That's why the Bible said that you are a chosen generation. You are a peculiar kind of somebody. Look at your name and said, I am that peculiar one. Because he said, listen, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. In other words, you got the word up. Can I talk about it like I want to? Y'all know the song, Word Up. Everybody, y'all ain't talking to me. But when they made that song, all of us were walking around talking about Word Up. And so it is, beloved of God, you got to get the Word Up. You got to learn how to Word Up in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't need more money. You need to Word Up. Neighbor, you don't need to change churches. You just need to Word Up. Neighbor, you don't need to go to another ministry. You just need to Word Up. And Jesus said, if you keep my words in you, everything's going to turn out all right. Because the word of the Lord is powerful. It is just like a two-edged sword. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad that I got the word in me. Because without the word, there would be no world. Can I talk like I want to for a minute? The Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was void. It was full of darkness and nothingness. But I heard the word. The Bible said God began to speak. God told darkness what its name was. God told morning what its name was. God told the stars who they were. God told the moon who he was. God began to speak. And things begin to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my God is greater than E.F. Hutton. Because when E.F. Hutton talks, people tend to listen. But I wish I had a witness that can tell another witness that God said something to me. He told me to rise. He told me to give him the glory. And when God speaks, my ears perk up. When God speaks, my heart begins to race. When God speaks, my life did change. Anybody know that God will change your life? Won't he do it, church? Won't God change your life? And I'm so glad that I made up my mind a long time ago that I was going to hold on until my change comes. I don't walk quite yet like I want to walk, but I'm going to hold on until my change comes. I don't preach quite yet like I want to preach, but I'm going to hold on until my change come. I ain't the father I want to be just yet, but I'm going to hold on until my change come. I've made up my mind that the word is life, and I want to lead a better life. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I'm going to hold on just a little while longer. He said unto me, and when God speaks to me, when God talks to me, when God walks with me, when God counsels me, he makes it all right. Won't he make it all right? Didn't he make it all right? I made up my mind that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I'm going to stay right there at the foot of the cross, because at the cross where our fires saw the light. Anybody been there? Anybody been to the cross? Down at the cross, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now, somebody say now, I am happy all the day. Won't God make you happy? Won't God make you glad? He gave me joy. He gave me joy. And this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Anybody got joy? Anybody got joy? Say joy, joy, joy. It woke me up this morning. It started me on my way. I've got joy. I've got peace in the midst of my sorrow. I've been sad sometimes. I've been down sometimes. But won't he pick you up? Won't he turn it around? Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Gave me joy. That's why I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to stick with him. Because as long as I'm with Jesus, I can be fruitful. He can turn it around. Anybody know he can turn it around? He can turn it around. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't always been like this. God turned it around. Look at another name and say, neighbor, he ain't finished with me yet. But he turned it around. Spin around and tell somebody behind your neighbor, you in my past, because he turned it around. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights, new heights, new new heights. Every day, I'm going to stay with the Lord. I said, I'm going to stay with the Lord. You look around this room today, some folk ain't going to be here by the end of the year. Ain't going to be dead. No, we ain't wish no ill on nobody. They just ain't going to stay with the Lord. Now, God will promote some, transfer and relocate some. But too many have walked away from the Lord. I had a little thing down here at the bottom of the page. Had some names I was going to kind of slip them in, you know. I wasn't going to tell y'all why, but you'd have figured it out. I said, wait a minute, all them people he named ain't here. You'd have figured it out. I wasn't going to say that list, but I said, no. Let's just be positive and understand the significance of solidarity is that you have to be one who's made a decision. You have to be one who understands devotion, determination. Jesus said, listen, if you come with me, man, you're going to be all right. But I like it. I like it, Jess, when he says, but please understand this. If you get cut off,
yes, sir.
It ain't that you're going to be cut off and just live like that. He said, no, you're going to be thrown in a pile. And not Gomer pile either. Thrown in a pile, and he said, and they're going to burn you up. You know what it is? Jesus is symbolically referencing hell. The fires of hell are going to burn a whole lot of folk up. Look at the neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't have to go out like that. Just stay with the Lord. You know, I've learned, Susan, that I'm not the most popular fella anymore. I didn't save nobody. And I can't. But I can tell you this, if you stay with the Lord. Okay, two of y'all got it. If you stay with the Lord, going to be all right. Because my relationship is fresh with Jesus. Amen. Y'all came along a little later. My relationship is with him. And I'm not going to get cut off. I made up my mind. I made a decision. The song we sang back home said, I decided to make Jesus my choice. No turning back. No turning back. And then I understand what it means to be devoted to him. And lastly, again, the discipline. Everything that's of any value has a discipline. You don't have a discipline in things. Math has a discipline. English, the English language has a discipline. That's how it remains consistent throughout. That's why we still have periods and semicolons. There's a discipline to how we talk and how we write. There's a discipline to medicine. That's why every time you go in the doctor's office, they do the same thing. They check your temperature, do your blood pressure, and they weigh you. Amen. Every time you go in, they do the same thing. As soon as you walk in, after they get your copayment, there's a discipline to that too. Get the copayment. Then they say, okay, come on back. You get on the scale. Then they take you sit down. Put your feet on the floor. Get your feet flat. Then they say, give me your right arm or left arm. Which you prefer? And they do that. Then they put that little thing under your tongue. That little new thing now they put on your finger. They do it every time. It's a discipline. That's why they prescribe medicine by prescription, and there's a discipline to medicine. See? So we can't come into church by the Christ and not have a discipline. If you're going to hang out with Jesus, there's a way you got to hang out with Jesus. Ain't no anything goes. My will. Ain't no your will. Put your wheel in a wheelbarrow and leave it out in the yard somewhere. There's a discipline. Why? Because we must operate in the will. We must be worshipers. Got to understand now that there's a work here. And then you got to understand the power for the word. Word is so powerful. Let's stand on our feet. Let y'all go home. Wherever y'all going to go when y'all leave here. But let's stand on our feet together. But while you're getting on your feet, Deacon Anderson has a tremendous job opportunity. If you're looking for a job, Home Depot is going to be hiring folk. Yeah. I think on the 12th, 13th, 14th, somewhere in that middle. You check with him for sure. But they will hire you. You can go online, fill out an application, get your reference number and all that, and let him know so you can get hired. They're going to try to hire folk. Lowe's hiring too? Or you just want to be competitive. You know, Deacon Anderson, every time, you know, she works over. Every time I go in there, I say, is this Home Depot? They get mad at me. I said, when y'all change y'all colors from orange to white, they get mad at me. I do it every time I go in there and say, at Home Depot, I go in there and ask one of them Lowe's people. I say, can you tell me where the nearest Home Depot is? They get mad at me, but I know. But listen, if you need a job now, it's a great opportunity. So I said work, and it reminded me because he asked me to do that. So go to work. Get a job. Amen. See Deacon Anderson. Get some more information. I might have messed it up. I don't know, but you need a job. So let me say this about solidarity. There is a movement, and I don't understand. I don't understand where it came from, where people are just walking away. You look around this room, you know, we were much better off a few years ago. And most of our disciples, former disciples, whatever you want to call them, when I see them, they ain't got nothing but excuses. I ain't heard not one yet. I mean in the history of our tenure together. Nobody that just started ghosting on the Lord had given me a good reason why. You know, if some left talking about they going to start a ministry and all that, I ain't seen the ministry yet. Left talking about the Lord told them that it was time to grow and go and all that. They didn't grime and reason. I ain't seen no growing. All I see is going. You know, and then I run into those rude who say, oh, I ain't been nowhere. I'm just going through. I'd rather go through with the Lord than outside of the ark of safety. I promise you, I ain't leaving the Lord for nothing. I don't even need to make no song. I'm just going to tell you my own testimony. He's been too good to me to leave. And I don't care enough about the house, the car, the money. I just want to be with Jesus. I can stay with Jesus, poor, broke. I hang out with some folk who got money, you know, but I'm staying with the Lord. And there's a movement. There's movement in churches all over the country. You know, you pull up statistics. You can go online and pull up the Barnard Group. They do probably best. But it's showing that the church is falling by the wayside. The average church congregation in the United States. Now, mind you, of all these mega churches and all the stuff you see on TV, the average congregation in the church, not just the African-American church, the church is 75 people. That's crazy. God's church didn't come to that. 75. All of these mega churches we built, all these cathedrals and grand houses, and the average congregation, USA-wide, is 75. Church incomes have fallen off on average across the board 30%. You imagine running your house less 30% deep? It'd be tough, wouldn't it? Anybody in here want to run your house less 30%? No. Some of us need a 30% increase just to get caught up. I had a friend of mine told me the other day, say, man, listen, if they gave me $500 a day, it'd still take me 10 years to get out of debt. Listen to me, saints. Solidarity is what's going to be required. And there's some significance to that. Because here's what Jesus said. Jesus says, as long as you're with me, you can ask me anything. And I didn't even want to preach that part because that's the part all of us remember. Because I get that part and start telling you, you can ask God stuff. Rather than devote to him, you're going to start asking for stuff. But he said, no, you got to hang with me. Prove that you can hang and you can ask me anything. And I'll give it to you. And if there's anything we're going to need from the Lord, it's his favor. Favor going to get that parking lot done. Favor going to take care of those units and favor. But faithfulness and favor ought to be first cousins. Thank you, Jess. Faithfulness and favor. And what I'm saying is when God has been good to you, and that's always, you ought to be faithful to him always. You're not bothered with God. Don't ever make your prayers, but Lord, if you do that, then I'll do this. No, but you ought to say, Lord, I'm going to always do this, and I'll wait till you do that. But trust me in this, there's a movement where people are just walking away for no good reason. I was reading the paper the other day, and I counted 6 funerals that are going to be held in a funeral home because folk ain't in church. And pride, their pride won't let them humble themselves. So they'd rather, hey, do the funeral home. We don't need no church. There you go. You're going to need a preacher. Because even at the funeral home, you're going to need a preacher. Might as well get to know him. Love that. How shall they hear without the preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent? That's a relationship. That's why I love what I do, because the Lord sent me. Amen. I do anything he tell me. Amen. Anything the Lord tell me. Ain't nothing the Lord asked me to do that I won't do. And the reason I can say that, because God ain't going to never ask you to do nothing foolish. David Berkowitz said that the Lord told him to kill all them people. Y'all remember Son of Sam? He said his dog was God, that God was talking through his dog. You know, it's crazy. God don't tell you to do stuff like that. But that's why we in this room ought to understand that the word is so critical to the believer's life. That's why you got to come to Christian Academy and Bible study. Open up that book and live. Because when that book is open, God is talking. You don't think about God like I know. God always got some good news. So if you're in the room today, I do beg your pardon. I said I wasn't going to preach so long this year, but I don't know what happened. I just love what I do. I'll try next month. Maybe next month I'll shorten up preaching. I don't know. Short month, short preaching. I've been up in 40-something minutes. I'm sorry. I thought I could just slide on through. If you're in the room today and you have made your commitment to God in solidarity, would you do that today? Don't leave today. If your relationship with God is solid, if it's solid, I mean really, that you know it's from here to the end with me and God. I'm not going to waffle on him anymore. Not going to waver. Not going to be wandering around. My mother had a simple principle when we were growing up as her children, still her children, but she used to tell us all the time, don't make me look for you. How many of y'all mama used to say that? Don't make me look for you. Now, my neighborhood is I don't know how many square miles, you know, but she used to tell us, don't make me look for you. I mean, don't wander. Be where I can see you. Be where I can find you. And boy, God help you, if your sibling came along and said, mama looking for you. You know that wasn't going to go well. And so I'm telling you today, don't wander away. Don't wander. Stay with the Lord. Now, if you have a relationship with the Lord, just let me see you raise your hand very quickly. I'll know what I need to do next. You already have a relationship.